Good morning. Thank you very much for sticking, you know, to the end of this meeting and attending this workshop. So, and also it's a great pleasure to talk about, give you an overview of the Canadian Breeding Program and Genetic Research at the University of Florida. You know, UF has this, the only public Canadian breeding program in the world. And as you know, caladiums are ornamental aroid. They are used in pots and also in the landscape when they are, you know, planted you know, massively. So they do have very good color in the landscape, especially in the summertime when we have a lot of rains, hot in Florida. So they can have colors rivaling many flowers. So all the commercial caladium plants are forced from tubers or grown directly from tubers. So here's a picture of caladium tubers. And they, we have about 10 growers in central Florida to the south of Orlando who produce caladium tubers for all the uses in the United States and in some 40 countries. So this is a small industry, but the really has a national and international impact. So all the caladium tubers are produced in Florida. So in support to support this industry, the University of Florida initiated the caladium breeding program in 1976. So more than 40 years now. And because caladium are used as ornamental plants, so the breeding program focused on improving plant branching habit and multiple leaf development and leaf type, size, color, coloration, etc. And also forcing time, container performance, landscape performance. But also because our growers are producing tubers, we focus a lot of time on tuber yield and quantity. This is a very time consuming part. And we have been using classic hybridization breeding, you know, crosses between existing varieties. And then you keep screening in the field for tuber yield, the quality, and the plant performance, landscape performance. Generally, it takes about 8 to 15 years to release a new variety after you make the crosses. So it's a long time. And so here are some pictures of our typical replicate field trials. So we use raised beds like those used for tomato production, grow them in the field from May to the end of the year. Then we keep screening. Then once we have some promising varieties that liked by growers, then we will do replicate the container trials. Garden trials in Foshan in the shed, and I joined in late 2002. Since then, I have released probably nearly 20 varieties, and the caladium varieties are divided in two groups: fancy or heart-shaped leaf varieties, and then the lance-leaf varieties. So there's some of the heart or fancy leaf varieties. And then here's some of the lance leaf varieties. And since I joined the program, I have some new initiatives. One thing is improving disease resistance and stress tolerance. Caladium growers have been producing caladium bulbs or tubers in their field for, you know, 50 years or even 60 or 70 years. In the past, they could use mesobromide to fumigate their fields, but now mesobromide is, gone. And then so we have a larger, a higher disease pressure in their field. So they want us to improve disease resistance. And also to improve landscape performance, we are focused on improving sunburn tolerance. And also I was interested in understanding the modes of inheritance for some of the important traits and develop new breeding tools to improve our efficiency. So the two main diseases are PSM root rot and the tuber, Fusarium tuber rot. PSM root rot is a disease during the production in the field. You can see the plants are up, you see a lot of plants are dying, then they have much lower yield. And then Fusarium tuber rot is a disease during the storage. We have developed screening protocols and screened more than 40 commercial varieties, identified several varieties with partial resistance, no complete resistance, only partial resistance to PSM root rot and also partial resistance to Fusarium tuber rot. We have been using these varieties as breeding parents to develop new varieties. And then sunburn tolerance, because we grow caladium in open field, So some varieties can have severe sunburns. And we have new breeding lines that can tolerate sunburns. And in caladium, we are very interested in, foliar traits such as leaf types, color, and the spots, or blotches. So we have created multiple segregating populations, look at the inheritance of these traits. So I would like to summarize our current data for these foliar traits. So we found that this locus LEM controls the leaf background color, whether it's lemon green or green, lemon green or green leaf background color. Then the V locus for leaf main vein color, red, white, or green. So this is a multi-allele locus. And then the S is for spotting. So whether presence or absence, we haven't looked at the color of the spots, but just look at the presence versus absence. Then leaf the RLF locus for leaf rugosity. In some varieties, you can see the leaf are not flat. They can have ups and downs. So we call the leaf rugosity. And then also we look at the leaf types. As I mentioned, in cladding, we mainly divide into three types: fancy, lance, and the stripe. In commercial production, we really don't use the stripe. The stripe leaf type have really narrow, gated leaves. We don't use that type. So that's also, we have three types, and that locus is codominant, has two codominant alleles. So based on our segregation analysis over years, look at, thousands of plants, we found four of the foliar traits are actually linked and tightly linked and into in one linkage group. The one locus for leaf type F is independent. So this is a summary of our work on modal inheritance. Then in caladium, I'm very interested in chromosome doubling because all the commercial varieties are diploids with 30 chromosomes. And it's not easy to convert into tetraploids, but finally we could. And so you can see there are 30 chromosomes with 60. And when caladium plants are converting to tetraploids, so they have rounded thicker leaf, and we notice they may have better sunburn tolerance, but we are still testing them and they testing their potential for commercial production and the landscape use. And when we were look at the tetraploids, then we notice we can find a lot of somaclonal variants in caladium, in tissue culture derived plants. This has been reported in caladium for in a number of presentations. But people don't know whether this variants they can be transmitted or what's the reason for this variants. So we look at a lot of variants, especially their nuclear DNA content and also chromosome numbers. So here is a summary of our data from one of the varieties called the red flash. And you can see the wild type had 30 chromosomes, and they had the DNA content about 9.4 picogram per tuse. And then in the among the variants, we find some lost the 2 chromosomes or 1, and some get gained 1. And also you see differences in terms of DNA content. And then we also did the SSR marker analysis, and we found that some of the mutant variants lost one allele, but in one case, this one had a different allele. So this is we use using the molecular markers with the VELEPT, so we can see genetic changes at the DNA level. And then also we did quite a bit of karyotyping. So in this case, look at the 15 pairs of chromosomes, and we notice, all these 5 variants lost the chromosome 2. So based on this study, we think a chromosome seems is prone to loss during tissue culture. I think probably my time is almost, I guess. So I'm going to conclude here and thank many of the collaborators, postdocs, graduate students, and the visiting scholars, technical support, and the funding agencies. With that, I conclude my presentation, and if you have any questions, I can answer. Thank you.